All right. Cool. Beer talk today with Matt and Kyle and John and everyone.
That's actually it.
I turned all the mics on, which is freaking me out because I have little lights.
We are in the new studio.
We're in the new studio. Look at this. We can see the lake. Lake Mendota.
Yeah.
We can see the flashing lights.
Uh-huh.
I can, in during the day, John's looking to be funny. During the day, you can see Wanakee.
The lake looks beautiful.
Nah.
There are more lights in here than, like, Star Wars, man.
Yeah, it's kind of freaking me out. But it's beer talk today. We're going to turn to Kyle, who's got an announcement and his, of course, new weekly editorial statement. Kyle Brown's editorial?
That's it. All right. Moving on to that.
Actually, I would like to point something out. I was reading the New York Times today, and I did not know that you could use opin as a verb. Like, I opin to you.
As in, like, opinion?
Yeah.
I think it's opined.
Opined.
I think.
That's weird.
What, yeah, cool. It's a verb.
What does that mean?
Explain. It's a verb.
How would you use that in the sentence?
Like an action.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I'm giving you my opinion, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of like saying, I blogged.
Kind of. Kind of like saying, I blogged.
Or like, I Googled your mom.
Kind of, yeah. Yes. Yeah. My favorite, though, was when New York Times tried to be progressive. This was years ago. And they tried to use gender-neutral pronouns. Instead of he or she, they used thon.
Like?
T-H-O-N.
So instead of having to say he, she went to this place.
Right.
If when you're speaking. Oh, right. That's just.
They tried to use thon and they thought everybody would catch on. Instead, everybody went, what are you doing? And then they stopped.
Is that a word?
I think they invented it. Or like some political correctness group invented it. Anyway.
We don't use it, so it probably failed.
It did not catch on. No, they stopped in like 2 days.
I pick a gender and go with it.
Well, right. Yeah.
It works well.
But then when you're talking about inanimate objects, right? So you're talking about a boat, you say she. And basically everything else, you say he.
Well, that's because a boat's always a she.
Right, but I'm just saying they're trying to make everything like neutral. I don't know. Anyway.
Anyways.
This is not about beer. Kyle, tell us something about beer.
Well, actually, kind of reading through this beer collectibles, I started thinking about glassware. And so that's kind of what I've been thinking about for this week. Beer glassware is a kind of a big thing for people of the beer world. If you go to any specialty beer place, you're going to see a different glassware for every single beer there is, especially in the Belgian beers. But it's not only that. I mean, I'm finding that, you know, sometimes people have all these crazy glasswares when really all you need might just be the pint glass.
Ooh.
You know,
ooh.
Maybe I'm stepping some boundaries.
Or,
I don't know.
Or
the bottle. Oh, no. You don't get the aroma from the bottle, John.
But I think, you know what, but that's a good point. Do you always need to have...
So you don't get the aroma when your thumb is like halfway up your nose either.
No, but that's actually kind of the point I wanted to make. Do we always need to have this special glassware? Is it possible for us just to sit down and have a beer? You know, does your beer have to be chilled always in a chilled glass?
No, or it does not need to be in a chilled glass. No, you don't want it in a chilled glass.
You don't want it in a chilled glass, but is it that big of a deal if it is?
I think
there's some beers it is.
I mean, yeah, but
I think chilled glass. I mean, especially if the beer's already like really cold. I don't know. I mean, the beer should be a certain temperature. I would, you know, prefer never to have a chilled glass. And if I'm drinking, I don't know, what would I want in a chilled glass? Something that's delicious cold. What's delicious? I don't know. Sparkling water.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Actually, maybe. I think root beer, chilled glass. Sure.
Be nice. Or with a scoop of ice cream in it.
Right. That also helps. But no, I don't know. I mean, that is an interesting question. You know, of course, one of our favorite places, Brasserie V, makes a big deal about having different glassware for different styles of beer and stuff. And I think for certain ones, it certainly enhances the experience. I mean, I know we're big fans of the Sam Adams Perfect Pint glass.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Duvel glass for that particular beer because a beer has so much head, you need a gigantic glass to hold it.
Right.
Same thing with like Hefeweizen's and the Hefeweizen glass. But no, I mean, I think for the most part, if you put it in a standard pint glass, you'll probably be okay. But if you're drinking an IPA or something with really nice hop aroma, John, I disagree. I think you should pour it out of the bottle. You're missing, I mean, you get the flavor, but you're missing a whole aspect of the beer that the brewers put a lot of time and attention into creating.
Yeah, but you're not necessarily missing it.
I think you're missing it.
Sometimes. It depends on if that's what you want.
I'm not saying I would never, you know, I'm not saying if I'm like out at the beach and somebody hands me a bottle of Two Hearted and there's no glasses, I would like be angry about it. Like I would drink it happily, but
who are you going to the beach with?
I don't know, man. Yeah, awesome people. Awesome
people.
No,
I agree. I think in certain situations, a glass can really make the beer, partially because they designed the beer almost with the concept that it can be drank with this type of glass. And
sure.
Duvel is a perfect example. It's not the same beer if you try to drink it out of the bottle. It just isn't.
No way. Yeah.
You need to have.
I don't even know if you can drink it.
It probably would explode. I've never attempted to not immediately pour it out.
Another, classic example, which I think everyone should know, is Guinness.
Sure.
Or any nitro beer. Mm. It's just not the same.
No way.
And even so, you can't really, I should say you can't, but to pour a Guinness in a standard pint glass just doesn't do it. There is something about the science of
the tulip glass.
It really does change.
Especially when it says Guinness on it.
Yeah. You know, which is actually one of my grudges against the Irish pub on State Street, because I've been there on many occasions and they pour it in the. You would think an Irish pub would actually serve Guinness.
Have Guinness glasses?
In a Guinness glass.
Yeah.
Maybe a tulip glass. Instead, it's, you know, the standard pint glass.
Well, I will say when I was in Dublin, a lot of places served them in the imperial pint glasses. They weren't tulip. They were the British style with the lip.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? I had them both in the tulip and in those there, so.
Okay.
But never in a straight 16-ounce pint, obviously, because they have 20-ounce pints over there. But
nice.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it depends on the situation. If I'm drinking a grain belt, I don't care what I drink out of the bottle.
Right. I will say you mentioned actually the Sam Adams Perfect Pint Glass.
Really?
I think it's a great all-around go-to glass.
It is nice.
Because, you know, you can really do pretty much any beer in there and you're going to be okay. Maybe not Duvel, again, because of the excessive amount of head. But,
yeah, the space you need.
I really like that. But then on the other side, I think there's some glassware that is just nothing but kind of like a marketing
I know where this is going.
Thing, and you know exactly where I'm going with that. Matt, you want to take this one?
Quack.
Why?
That's so fun.
Yeah, and you know.
All right.
It's fun the first time you see it.
It's fun the first time you see it. It's funny every time you watch someone on their first time.
Yeah.
But. And for those of you who don't know, it's this contraption of a glass that can't stand on its own and has to be sitting in this wood-crafted holder, basically.
It's like an Erlenmeyer flask in like a wood stand,
yeah, it just
basically.
Is a recipe for disaster of breaking it or something, and I don't know.
You did break a lot of them. Didn't they break a lot of them at Brasserie?
Well, they can't put them through the washer because they're so fragile.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just... I don't know.
It's gimmicky.
Yeah. But
and I know they also sell, when they sell it, oftentimes I've seen it at O'Reilly's, they'll sell 3 bottles of Kwok with the Kwok glass. I mean, the glass is a selling point. Although Duvel does the same thing.
Actually, a lot of beers do that. You know, and people do that with a lot of liquor, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
you buy
like a nice bottle and they'll give you like a little
glass
or something.
New Glarus had a thing usually around the holidays with their fruit beers. They'll 2 bottles of the fruit beer and 2 little flute glasses.
Okay, yeah. So...
You know,
glassware, it's, I think there's a lot more marketing in that than some people realize. Go to any college
Absolutely.
Bar.
I think there's a lot more marketing in a lot of glassware than people realize.
Yeah.
I don't think Guinness out of a 16-ounce, or out of a 20-ounce pint is that bad if it's like a straight pint.
Nah.
I don't think Kwok is that much better than a bottle. I mean, it has like this long, narrow neck. I mean,
true.
What's the difference?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is clearly gimmicky, and that's clearly the big selling point of that beer.
Yeah.
Oh. But it's, you know, the first time you see it, you're like, hey, look at that thing. Ah.
Yeah.
The first time, you were impressed. Come on.
No.
All right.
I don't think I've ever ordered that beer.
I've had it once.
I sampled it.
Yeah, I think I've had it.
The glass doesn't sell me on it.
Well, it sold me on it at least once. What can I say? I'm a sucker.
The other glass that I know all of us have is the, at least us three, the Chimay glass.
Mm.
We got them actually pretty cheap for like a few bucks at Riley's. I think that's also another great glass, and of one of my favorite uses for it, believe it or not, is keg beer.
Yeah, homebrew.
Not even homebrew. Even if you just cheaper keg beer. One time we had a keg from the Dane that I brought over, and it was foaming up just because we had first tapped it, and that glass handles a heavy foamy beer, one that's overly foamy that shouldn't be.
Hmm.
So I was actually pretty impressed with the way that, you know.
Yeah. It's a nice size. That's a nice size little goblet. Mm. Very cool. Is that it? Is that the editorial?
I would like to say.
Sure.
Taster glasses are fun. You know, you pour out like part of the beer, you start with it. You let it warm up and hang out, and then you pour out the second part of the beer.
Sure.
It makes it a more interesting drinking experience.
I like the taster glasses. Absolutely. I would agree. Especially, when we split a beer between the three of us or something like that.
I was talking about like if you want a beer to yourself.
Even that too. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. It's also nice when you have the fortunate of having beer on tap in your own house.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times I'll be sitting there, lunch, come home or something, and just pour like a 6 ounce pour in a large taster glass. And
You don't really want a full beer.
Something just to see, it's also nice because, for homebrew, your beer kind of evolves over time. And so you can kind of just taste it every day just to see what it's like instead of having to crack open a full beer or whatever.
Sure.
I guess I could pour a smaller amount in a large glass, but
what's the point of that?
It's just not as fun.
Sure. So.